The What I Watch Tonight Show.
Good morning, afternoon or evening, wherever you are in the world, and welcome to the What I Watch Tonight Show. My name is Matt Hudson, and I am the John Doe behind the site whatiwatchtonight.co.uk. In these episodes, I chat with a guest who specialises in or simply loves movies. It's as simple as that, really. They may be a blogger, a reviewer, an actor, screenwriter, director, whatever they are. We have a chat about films, throw questions at them, to talk films, because otherwise this movie podcast would be bloody boring otherwise. So accompanying myself on the show tonight from Cinema Addicted is Hannah Wage. How the heck are you?
I am good. How are you today?
I'm very well. We're having for England, we're having a mini heat wave. So the sun's out, the sky's clear, so I'm loving it at the minute.
That's funny. I know we have, and I'm from Wisconsin, so nice. We love our cold. We actually just had a big snowstorm about 2 weeks ago, but we have like 75 degrees and sunny right now, so it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's obviously, everything's come together for this show.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereabouts in Wisconsin are you calling from?
I'm from Green Bay, so of course, every time I'm here in Green Bay, they think of the Packers.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm hoping it's the same Green Bay, but I know who the Packers are.
Yep.
Any other interesting facts you could throw at me about Green Bay? If anybody's listening and all they could think of is the Packers, is there anything about Green Bay which is just as awesome?
Oh my gosh. Everyone that thinks of Green Bay really just thinks of the Packers and cheese. We got a lot of cheese. We love cheese. Our cheese.
I didn't know that. Talk to me about cheese.
Oh my God. First of all, cheese is great. basically everywhere you're like, because I live kind of in this like city, and even like down the street, we have like cheese factories. Like it's not, you aren't far from one ever.
So everywhere you turn, it's just cheese.
Yeah, basically. Like it's not just a like superstition or like people don't just think that. No, there's really cheese everywhere.
Yeah. Well, I feel after this show goes out, people aren't going to think about the Packers anymore. They're just going to think Green Bay cheese.
Yep, exactly. And, you know, that's fine. We got to switch it up a little bit.
That's right, exactly. We've changed it up on this show. Fantastic.
Exactly.
So before we go into movie talk or cheese talk, what else do you get up to during your days to fill your time?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I work a full-time job. I work at Target, you know, represent the bullseye.
I do, yep.
So basically, I just work a lot, do a lot of outside stuff, a lot of hiking. There's some great hiking in Wisconsin, actually. So do a lot of hiking outside, especially now this time of year when it's so nice outside.
Do you ever get to keep anything from Target? Because I know they have,
that's kind of what it did sound like.
Do you ever get to steal and get away with it? Do you ever get, because they have like movie posters and they have the cardboard cutouts, because I've been to Target before. Do you ever get to take any of those kind of things home when they're finished?
No, it's actually really sad. I mean, it's good because Target, I work in the clothing department kind of, and so they actually donate a lot of the stuff that doesn't sell. So it makes you kind of feel bad wanting to take it. But sometimes it's like you just see something that's going to get thrown away and you're like, I just wish I could have it. But I never have been able to.
So do you steal anything from Target?
I'd like to keep my job, but...
Stealing is bad. Don't do it, anyone.
Yeah, I'll plead the fifth.
Yeah, stealing is bad, and I do not condone stealing. Yeah, unless it's a movie poster from Target or cheese.
So, exactly.
Yeah. So, Cinema Addicted. I hope I'm saying that right, because it sounds right.
Yeah.
Awesome. How long have you been doing it for, or just reviewing movies, and what kind of made you want to start reviewing films?
I think I've had the blog now for about, 2 years. Mm-hmm. And I've loved movies for forever. And for me, it started when I was little, because I loved popcorn. So I would always have my parents like, oh, we just have to go to a movie because I really want some popcorn.
And what's your popcorn of choice? Just quickly jump in there.
Oh, I just plain popcorn. And I don't like any extra salt on it because I have sensitive lips. So we don't need any burning or anything. But I just like plain popcorn. And that's all I get popcorn in. Usually like cherry Pepsi. That's my go-to.
That sounds good.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I know. I'm like craving it right now. I have had the blog for about 2 years, and so then I started because I started watching like YouTube reviewers, and I don't think that I could ever do like video reviews. I wanted to, and I tried. If you could, like, there's some on YouTube somewhere, but they're really bad. But
they're out there though.
Oh yeah, you don't even need to look. It's fine. We're good.
Just quickly YouTubing now.
I've always been like, yeah, but I've always been like a decent writer. So I'm like, okay, we'll write. I have a very short attention span, so I always try to write them like short. But I mean, I don't know. I just love going to movies. I go to them very often, and I like to talk about them too.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that because your reviews, they are a nice length. But they do fit. They fit in enough to really give an idea of the film's merits, plus your opinion, which to me is the most important part of somebody's review.
Yeah, I always like to try. I like them to be short because, like I said, I have a horrible attention span, but I also like to like try to get some of my like sense of humor in there because I also want, like, if I were reading something, I'd want it to be something like entertaining. So I want it to be like relatable because also I don't know everything about movies, like. I love movie trivia and that kind of stuff, but I don't know everything, so I feel like that kind of makes it a little bit more relatable too.
Yeah, I think it's just something that's been touched on pretty much every show I've done, but everybody seems to bring, or thinks it's very important to bring themselves to their reviews, and I think just from reading yours, it would seem that you would follow that. You pretty much just kind of reflects you a bit.
Yeah.
I like the short reviews. I'm guilty of sometimes going through 5 or 6 paragraphs of writing about films and getting really deep into them. Sometimes it is nice to just write a short, concise, 300-400 words, bosh, done. Sometimes that's all you need. Certain films, to be fair, that's all they need. They don't deserve any more than that. But
yep, exactly.
But it's not just reviews on there. There's editorials as well. So things like endings explained and the top horror movies, for example. Just quickly, what did you list as the top horror movie or movies?
Man, I don't even remember. I know because I've done two because I did like a top. There was one like where it was the top ones on Netflix and then the top of all time. And I know on the top of all time, I am such a big fan of Get Out.
Yes.
And it took me like the first viewing because I think because I saw it like probably like a week after it came out. So people like the hype was already up there.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And but I saw it a little bit later, so it didn't like completely jump out at me, but then I saw it again and it is so good. And I know I put it on like the top 10 of all time, but I just love it. I think it's such a good movie.
Well, yeah, it's your list. You can put whatever you want on there, I think. Get Out, you know, I watched it quite soon after it came out when the hype was just bubbling over. And I really enjoyed it. However, that second viewing really, really nailed it home. And it's not one of those films that needs a second viewing to make it better, but the second viewing showed just how strong a film it was, I think.
Yeah, exactly. And I also, that's one of the movies where I would think like a longer review could actually do good for it because I'm one of those people where I don't like to only think about like, it, you know, one of those like thinking movies. I don't like to just think about it by myself. I like to look at what other people have thought about it. So that's one of those where I like to maybe look up like what people thought the ending meant or that kind of thing. And I would read like a long article on some of those. Like another one that has an ending kind of like that is I don't know if you ever saw It Comes at Night.
Yeah,
that came out. I think that was last year. I
love that film.
I love that movie. And lot of people didn't like it. But I loved it, especially I liked it more when I read what other people thought about it. And like once other people were kind of explaining, they had their different ideas about it. And I loved that movie.
I hadn't seen too much about it when it came out, but my sister saw it. And if she's listening, you need to change your tune on films because my sister saw it and didn't like it. And she told me it was terrible.
I think my sister would be the same.
So I went in, rightly or wrongly, expecting, you know, not an awful lot out of this film. I bloody loved it. And I'd also heard a lot of other people saying, oh, well, it's not what they thought it was being, it was mismarketed, blah, blah, blah. Or maybe it was just a different type of horror film, which didn't need to explain everything to you, and it left a lot open for you to use your own imagination. It was what I wanted in a horror film. It, you know, had the atmospheric, had bloody damn good acting. It was open-ended enough to kind of keep you on the edge of your seat. I don't really see what was so bad about it.
No, I don't either. And I thought it was like very like well shot and everything. And I saw it was I think I remember that it was a pretty short movie too. And it was just one of those where you could kind of like sit down, watch it. I always go, I have one friend that I always see my movies with. And like the whole way home, we were both just talking about it the whole time, like what we thought about it. And that is just my favorite kind of movie to go see.
Yeah, and that's when you know it's a good movie, because there are those movies where you can come out and you can have a good chat about it, about how bad it is. But then there are some films like this where you find yourself really sort of getting deeper into the nitty gritty of it and really starting to unravel what's going on. And I love those kind of films.
Yeah, me too, for sure. That is my favorite.
So you've said you've done two horror lists. Is that your particular? Is that the genre you're particularly most fond of, or do you have another genre you prefer?
I love horror, and I always have. It is one of the first movie like experiences that I remember having was me being about 7 or 8 and my mom coming in my room, knocking on my door saying, could you please watch The Ring with me? I'm too scared. And I was like, I thought I was like, oh, my mom shouldn't be letting me watch this, but I'm going to take her up on it. And I remember I had nightmares about that movie for so long. But I loved it. And my favorite movie of all time is Jurassic Park, which I kind of count as horror.
Elements, isn't it?
Yeah, that gave me nightmares too. But
I didn't see it when I was 7, but I think I saw it when I was 9 and I had the same feeling.
Oh yeah, for sure. It terrified me, but I also loved it because then I got to go to school and I got to tell everyone, oh, well, I just saw this horror movie and it was, I'm like really cool because I saw a horror movie. And I've always loved, because there's different kinds of horror movies where there's just the slashing killer kind of thing. I love gore. And there's also the ones that like It Comes at Night, where it makes you think about it. And I love that kind of stuff.
I love those kind of atmospheric horror films. Yeah, Jurassic Park, I agree. It has got, when the raptors are prowling around the kitchen, that is like a horror scene. When the kids are hiding in the kitchen cellar, the drawers, and you can hear the tapping of the raptor's claw, that's like a horror. When Dennis Nedry is running, is trying to get away, and the I want to say Dilophosaur, the one that spits acid, basically.
Yep.
Venom.
Oh yeah, it's right on his face. Yep.
Yeah, that's horror as well. It's always that feeling of something's lurking in the woods, which is what that particular genre does so well. And apparently they're doing that with the new Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. Apparently that's going to have more echoes of those kind of moments in it.
I hope so. The trailers look like it, but I wanted to love Jurassic World so much. I went in and I remember the trailers had, like the first trailer came out and at the end it had that little bit of the Jurassic theme.
Yeah.
And I got chills, like I wanted to cry. And then seeing the movie, I tried to love it the first time. And even the first time I came out of it, like, oh, like that was actually a good Jurassic Park movie. But then, like, the more that I look and watch it, I'm not a huge fan. So I hope that the new one, especially it has Jeff Goldblum, who I am obsessed with.
Yep.
So hopefully he'll have a big part in it, because you never know. Sometimes they just throw somebody in there and kind of like just use him as like a hook to get people in.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I hope it's good.
I've got a nagging feeling that the shots they've shown him in the trailer where he's giving that speech, I've got a feeling that's pretty much all he's going to be in the film.
I
think they've just shown his whole entire performance.
I know. I kind of do too. And that makes me so sad, because I love him. I loved him in the new Thor movie. I thought he was hilarious.
Yeah.
And I love him in everything. So he's got the weirdest personality that I love.
In the nicest way possible, he's a strange man. He has this very strange, obviously, his way of talking, his mannerisms.
Yep.
He's just a very odd kind of guy, but in a really nice, good, cool way.
I don't know if you saw, he did like an MC for the Avengers Infinity War panel for something.
Well, I haven't seen that.
Oh, he was so funny, because obviously like they wanted somebody who was like involved in the world. But so they had him do the kind of question person, and he was so funny because he's just so awkward. But he loves doing it. Like, he just loves his job, and he's so grateful to be up there. And I just think it's so funny.
Yeah, and I hope he's in Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom more, but I don't think he's going to be. But yeah, Jurassic World is a film which is, I enjoyed it. It's kind of one of those films where I say passable, you know, it's good. But that's kind of all it was. It was enjoyable at the time.
It's fun.
Fun to go back to that world, but that's kind of where it ended, really.
It's definitely not as deep as the original.
No, and J.A. Bayona, who's directing the new film, he did, I want to say, The Orphanage, or Orphan, sorry. One of those
films.
Yeah,
and Monster Calls, right?
That's right, that's right.
Yep.
So he has that kind of character-driven, gloomy, and horror.
I was going to say, because that is his CV. His stuff is more definitely horror, at least darker, so...
Yeah, and apparently there's a big twist up in the middle of the film.
Ooh.
That's no spoilers or anything, guys. That's
no,
what he said.
I hope so.
He said that the first part of the film is Jurassic Park, and then the second part of the film, from the halfway point, it switches up and really changes the pace to a different kind of direction now. Now, I hope that isn't just, you know, big talk, and I hope that's true, but with that particular director, I have faith that he is going to bring something different to the franchise and the story.
That's good to know, because I know when I heard, because I have been trying to stay away from as much of like trailers and stuff as I can, but with the Fallen Kingdom, it kind of reminds me of the same story as the third one. I don't remember what the third Jurassic Park is called.
Jurassic Park 3 to me.
Yeah, I know, me too. But it's like where they're trying to weaponize the dinosaurs.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know, like, I hope that's good to know that they're trying to switch it up a little bit, because that'd be, I just hope it works out.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see just how much money it makes, because Jurassic Park, Jurassic World made an absolute ton of money.
Yeah.
I'm not sure this one's going to make as much, but who knows, if it comes out and suddenly people start saying, actually, this really is brilliant, that they really do change it up in the middle, you've got to see it, maybe it will make a lot of money, but here's hoping it's half decent at least.
Yep.
So horror, just quickly, what was your favorite horror movie?
See, my favorite, that's why I made like posts that had multiple, because I don't know if I can pick just one, but I know like The Ring has always been up there.
So let's say if you could turn around now, tell the English guy to shut up, and you're going to put a Blu-ray in, what would it be? What would be the first thing you think of to put in the horror Blu-ray or DVD?
One of my favorite movies to rewatch that's horror-ish is The Cabin in the Woods, the one that just came out, I think it was 2011?
So within the last 5-6 years, something like
that. Yeah, the like Joss Whedon.
Now, that was different.
Yeah, I love that movie. I went to go see it in theaters, and it was like one of my first rated R movies. My mom had to sign me in. And we thought that it was a straight up horror movie, and then the movie starts and we're like, wait, where are we? We thought we were in the wrong movie. We were like, so this is like a teen like comedy kind of, but then these old guys are here for some reason and I'm not quite understanding. But it was like, I think that I love it so much because it just, the experience in the theater was so fun.
When I saw it, obviously the major switch up towards the end did sort of make you think, what the hell? What's just happened there?
I know.
I liked that twist. I thought it was I appreciated that they tried something different, because before that, it was the kind of teenagers in the woods doing stuff, getting drunk, smoking.
Yep.
You've seen it all before, but then also, like I say, they had this big corporation watching them on cameras, and you're thinking, what are they doing? What's the end game here? And then suddenly it all just goes bonkers at the end.
Yep. It kind of reminded me of how Scream is, where it's still got definitely like the horror elements in it and everything, but it's kind of trying to parody it more, and it's using all the cliches, but it knows that it's using all the cliches.
Yeah, so it's not on the nose, because it's very self-aware of the fact of what it's doing. So when you said earlier on that you like to read other people's reviews sometimes, if a movie kind of grabs you and makes you really, really think. Is there any particular ones you go to read, or is it just quick Google search and see what comes up?
I always, it's kind of funny, I always have, because I still watch reviews, and I have a different kind of reviewer for each movie that comes out. Like, because it kind of seems like certain people have my taste for certain things and not for other things. Because I know Chris Stuckman is one of my favorites for the more in-depth, like, thoughtful reviews.
Yeah.
He does such good, diving into things, and because he knows so much about, like, the technical things about it. But then Jeremy Johns, I have always loved, too. And he's definitely, his reviews, on YouTube, they're usually about 3 minutes long, sometimes up to 5. I love it, and he most of the time he's just like wants to have fun, and he just kind of thinks like a normal person. So I like that. And then the first movie reviewers that I ever watched that I've loved forever are the Schmoes. No.
Yep.
They are. I've always loved them. And I still love them. I don't watch them quite as much as I used to, just because like they started.
Their
they merged
not
with Collider.
As much anymore, is it?
Yeah, they merged with Collider, and it kind of got a little bit bogged down. I still definitely watch them, and I like them because I also love like a team. I think it makes it funny because they also both have very separate taste, and yeah. So I don't know. I just think that they're hilarious. But those are the people that I usually go to.
Stuckman is somebody who gets name-checked quite a lot. Jeremy Johns, surprisingly, hasn't been mentioned, I don't think, by
really?
Anyone.
I'm surprised because he's one of the like bigger ones on YouTube right now.
Yeah, there's about 10 on YouTube, you can kind of probably, or 5 or 10 you can think of off the top of your head.
Yeah.
And he'd be one of them. But yeah, his sort of scattergun, crazy approach is refreshing because he gets everything he needs to in. But like you say, he's kind of like that guy on the street more than Chris Stuckman's kind of studious way of looking at it. Jeremy Johns is more like the bloke who's just come out of the cinema, knows a bit about how it's made, but would rather tell you about what he liked rather than, you know, the ins and outs of the production. It's the first person who's mentioned it, so I'm surprised by that.
I am too. I was like how he doesn't have an actual number rating system for his movies. Because when I write my reviews, it's almost like I feel like I have to put a number, so I put it very small at the bottom. But I don't like putting a number because your taste change and that kind of thing. So I love how he just has the awesome-tacular, like that kind of stuff. I think that just makes it more like subjective almost, where you don't have to have a number. So like this movie's a 5 and this is a 5, so they have to be the same. I like how they're a little bit different.
I think he did used to have numbers, if I'm right, and then he got so much flack off people because of that reason where he'd give, I don't know, one film a 5 and then another film a 5. And he'd have too many people saying, well, hold on, this film's so much better than that film. Well, you're an idiot, blah, blah. So I think that's when he changed to the awesome-tacular or wait for the Blu-ray type thing. I put numbers to my films, but there is also that kind of fear that somebody's going to say, well, hold on, you gave Rampage the same score as, I don't know, Shape of Water or something, which I almost did. But that doesn't mean comparatively in terms of the quality of film, but it's how I felt about the film. Doesn't mean that Rampage is on the same level as The Shape of Water cinematically, technically, and all of that good stuff. It just means that when I saw it, I thought Rampage was a 6 out of 10. I thought The Shape of Water was a 6.5 out of 10. That's just how I felt, and I gave my reasons why. But it doesn't in any way mean that I would compare the two because of their ratings. Each rating I give is singular, is individual to that film, and shouldn't really be compared to any other film. So I'm glad you give numbers as well.
Yeah, and it's just because I also feel like when you're doing reviews, you're coming right out of the movie too, usually. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't usually wait longer than 24 hours to post something. So it's kind of like that's your first take anyways. So that'll kind of give somebody a better idea. So it's not even relating it directly to any other movie. It's just how you felt of it when you first came out of the theater. And it changes for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But it gives it like a starting point.
Do you personally, would you say that's the best time to write the review, is your first impression?
Yeah, and mostly because I can be really lazy. Like, honestly, sometimes there are definitely things, like I just saw Tully a few days ago, and I haven't written a review about it because I had to, like, I'm still thinking about it, because it was one of those where I still don't know if I loved it or if I didn't like it. So that's one where I'm kind of thinking about it. But then, I don't know. Most of the time, I just have to write it right away because that's also when I have all the details still in my head. And like as I'm watching a movie, I'll think of something like either I'll like make a quick note in my phone or something that I can bring up. But if I don't do that, then honestly, it might not happen.
I haven't seen Tully yet, but I'm very much looking forward to it. I've heard good things about it. I look forward to reading your review when it comes out to see what you finally thought about it.
Yeah, it's an interesting movie for sure.
Yeah, it took me about 3 weeks to write a review of Blockers, and it's simply because I thought it was a good film, but it's probably the only film I liked it, but I wasn't particularly enthused to write a review about it, because I thought I didn't really know what to say other than it's good. It's not very particularly funny throughout, but it's still a very good film.
I feel that way too sometimes, actually. That's how it is, where it's like, there's a movie that doesn't really make a big impact on you, and you're kind of like, that's, like, does anybody really care?
Exactly. It was just a good film, it had a good message. It didn't really do much more. It did what it said in the tin, kind of, but
yeah,
that's it. And then, yeah, that's the first time any other film. I've seen about 8 since then, and I've, you know, been scribbling out reviews left, right and centre, but that one, yeah, was, for some reason, I just thought, I'm not really too sure how to expand upon that opening paragraph of, it's pretty good, it's not all that funny, and you may forget about it soon, but it is still good.
Yeah, I totally get that.
What was the last film you saw, anyway?
The last thing that I saw, well, I actually just took my mom to the Avengers for Mother's Day. Yeah. So that was my second time seeing it, and she loved it. Her favorite movie of all time is Guardians of the Galaxy.
Wow, you got a cool mom.
Yeah, she's got, oh my gosh, she's so obsessed with it, it's a little bit crazy. You know those tests online where it's like nobody could ever get 100% so I gave her one of those for Guardians of the Galaxy, just like as a joke. I was like, there's no way. But she got 100% on it. And you don't even, like, the questions on this are nothing that anyone should know. Yeah. There was one where it was like, what cell number are they in or something for this? And she's like, oh, I think it might be like R270 or whatever it is. And it blew my mind. So taking it to the Avengers, I was worried that she wouldn't love it because it's long, but she really liked it and it was fun. It was a long movie, but it's fun.
Yeah. I'm going to break your mother's heart in a minute. I'm sorry, mother wise, but I didn't like the Guardians standalone films. I think
I'm not a big fan either.
Oh, good. I'm about to say, I think I'm in the minority there. However, in Infinity War, I thought they were the best part possibly.
Yep. And I wonder if that has to do with that James Gunn had the Russo brothers, because I know James Gunn wrote the Guardians of the Galaxy parts in Avengers, but I think it's good to kind of have more people to integrate them better into a bigger movie, you know?
Yeah, in the end of the day, the Russo brothers had to incorporate them and 6,000 other characters in. So it's good that they were like, they had to have their own spin on it. But obviously James Gunn, he created them for the screen anyway, at least, brought them to the big screen. So I think he kind of needed to be there as well to make sure they felt, you know, authentic. And I thought they were one of the best parts of the film.
Me too.
Their interactions with Thor, especially Thor and the sweet rabbit, Rocket, were superb.
Yeah, Thor the pirate angel.
Yeah, that's right. And it never felt out of place, though. Because Infinity War, I'm pretty sure everybody's seen it now, who listens to this show, and if you haven't. Yeah. But it's a dark film for the most... It's a heavy film, but the humour doesn't feel out of place, whereas a lot of people have said Thor Ragnarok, it became too heavy-handed. In Infinity War, it was spot on, I thought.
I think so, too. And it's one of those where... Because even though it is dark, it's dark for the Marvel Universe, because I know that this is a dumb debate and everybody always debates this, but I have always liked Marvel movies better than DC just because I like, with a superhero movie, they're people that can fly and like they have capes. Like, you can only take it so seriously, in my opinion. So I just like to have a little bit more fun when I'm like watching a superhero movie. And I love some DC movies and I like some darkness sometimes. But I don't know. I just liked the fun. And I liked Thor Ragnarok. I agree that it did get a little bit much. But with Thor, he is a god, and that's already kind of silly anyway. So you might as well just have fun with it. And I love Taika Waititi, and I don't know. I thought it was good.
I did enjoy Thor Ragnarok. It's one of my top 5 Marvel films
I thought it for me.
I did some of the comedy, it was always funny, but sometimes it was kind of, it almost seemed like scene, joke, big emotional moment, joke.
Yeah.
And it sort of felt a bit strange that way, but it never made me think this was a bad film.
No.
I enjoyed it. I also enjoyed Doctor Strange, and I get told sometimes I shouldn't, but I thought it was bloody good.
That's one of the ones that I haven't seen, but after, I think that's the only Marvel movie that I haven't seen. But after seeing Infinity War, I actually really want to go back and watch it, because I also like the Doctor Strange parts in Infinity War a lot.
Yeah, and I'm not a... again, for the spin the record, guys, for the 100th time. I'm a casual comic book fan. I watch the films, and then when I come out of them, I don't read the comics. I don't go into the background and the lore and the mythology and the history.
Yeah.
I just watch the films. And even then, you know, and I don't always go on opening night. They don't grab me like, say, a Star Wars does.
Yeah.
Doctor Strange was, that's one I was really looking forward to, just because I like Benedict Cumberbatch anyway. But visually, it looked weird. It looked something different, like the Eastern influences. It looked like a spiritual type of comic book film.
Yeah.
So it grabbed me. And then when I heard all about like the mind bending effects, I thought, I want to see this. And when I did see it, I wasn't disappointed. I thought it was really good. And I know a lot of people seem to say it was one of the weaker ones, which is strange. So I look, no pun intended. So I look forward to hearing what you think.
Yeah, that's interesting because I know it's on Netflix now, and my roommate hated the movie. He thought that it was the dumbest thing ever. But then my cousin, it's one of his favorite. Like, he loves it. So I'd be interested to watch it.
I thought it was something a little bit different for the MCU to do.
Yeah.
I know they're shaking it up quite a lot now with each film. But I thought it was a bit different. So maybe you'll like it, maybe you'll hate it. But I thought it was good. But Infinity War, what did you think of it?
I loved it. Part of the reason why I think I loved it so much was because I went opening night Thursday, the first showing, and my theater was packed with, there were, I think, three guys in full Captain America costumes, the shield, everything. There were Spider-Man, there was everything. So my theater was packed, which is my favorite way to see a movie. And just how excited people got. Kind of spoilers, but I won't say anything, that Thor...
I've said this before about 10 days ago. Because the film is so massive, it's breaking everybody's records, and there's so many spoiler reviews out that we will, you know, feel free to discuss the film, to film it now, because I know lots of people, some people don't agree, but it's been out for three, four weeks now, and it's very popular, and I think most people have seen it, so feel free to discuss any plot points.
So good.
Yeah. Spoil away.
Yes, okay, good. Because, I mean, this isn't, like, a big deal anyway, but because when Thor gets the Stormbreaker, and he comes to Wakanda, oh my gosh, my theater, the whole entire thing, everyone was screaming, there were people literally standing on the chairs, like...
whooping.
Yeah, they were, and it gave me chills. I didn't even care that much, but just how excited people got was awesome. And like Red Skull being in it, that was the other movie that I haven't seen, is the original Captain America, so I didn't know who it was, but everyone got all excited, and the experience made it so much better. The time flew by, because I will say, seeing it with my mom and like knowing everything in it, the 2 hours and like 36 minutes, I think it is, it went by, you could feel the time more. But I loved it. And I think Thanos was much more developed than I thought that he was going to be. You can understand where he's coming from with his whole plan, which I appreciated, because a lot of times it's just, oh, I'm going to kill this guy because I want to kill this guy.
I want to take over the world just because.
Exactly. But he had a reason. And my mom was really, she appreciated that too, because obviously you don't agree with him the way he's thinking, but you can understand where he's you'd hope not, at least.
I found myself agreeing with him. I found myself rooting for him at one point. I was like, yeah, this guy's making a stand, we should be following him. And then I realized that actually he wanted to do genocide.
Killing people isn't good.
Yeah, do it not, can't we all be friends and just do it nicely?
Yeah, right, exactly. But I don't know, I loved it, and I know it's getting kind of the like Star Wars Force Awakens Last Jedi treatment, where now that so many people said that they love it, there's all the people saying that now they hate it and now it's horrible.
Really?
I've seen Twitter has just kind of... Maybe Twitter's just a bad place to be, honestly.
I love Twitter so much, but it can be the worst place to be.
Yep, exactly. Because I feel like a lot of times when something is so successful and people love it, so many people just want to hate on it. And I don't know. I loved it. I thought it was very good. So I'm probably going to go see it again sometime soon.
Many of the people who don't like these things usually have about 4 followers, and they're usually Russian.
Exactly.
Which, if anyone doesn't believe me, honestly, go and check out. They've all got about 5 followers.
Yeah.
So they must have just come on just to hate it. There's nothing wrong with not liking a film.
No, that's what I was just talking to a friend about that the other day. I get people that don't like it, but not when you're telling other people that they can't like it.
Yeah, sometimes it becomes apparent that there's more to it than just not liking the film. There's some insidious way of thinking behind it, but hey-ho, that's just the world we live in. Social media is the best of things, it's the worst of things at times, but
yep.
I haven't seen any of those. I'm going to check that out later on and see how many people are now suddenly saying, oh, it's awful, and pulling out the plot holes, because I went to see it, just like you, it was a packed theatre.
Yep.
And us Brits, we don't know how to let ourselves go and enjoy ourselves. We sit there very politely. But man, the cinema was up in arms. They were cheering, screaming, gasping, crying. Yeah. It was mental. And like you say, I think it kind of made the experience better for it. If I'd not seen it in the cinema and I waited to buy it on Blu-ray and I watched it at home,
oh, yeah.
I'm not sure I would have got the same buzz. I would have still enjoyed it because undoubtedly for me anyway, it was a very fun film. It was a good film.
Oh yeah,
but I wonder how I would have felt, or you had you seen it at home on your own, just watching it casually for the first time.
That happens with a lot of things. Like I'm trying to, my parents really want to see Coco.
Yeah,
and that's one that I feel like is much better in theaters, which is weird because it's just an animated movie. But 90% of why I liked Coco was because of the visuals of it.
Yes.
So I feel like there's movies like that where they're so much better in theaters just with the people around.
Yeah, I never got to see Coco in theaters. Strike me down. I saw it on Blu-ray, and I think I put it in my review that that is one of those films where seeing it on a big screen would be splendid.
Yep.
Because it's so visually, your eyes will pop out with the beautiful colors.
Oh
and,
yeah.
And the ending, cool. It takes a heart of stone not to feel a bit. Well,
oh my gosh.
Well up a bit towards the end. Even I get poked at for not crying at films, but I almost did that film.
I am the opposite of you, and I cry at everything. and of course, Coco made me. It
Sob.
Wrecked me. It wrecked me. I was, oh my gosh, I have never cried so hard in a movie before. And usually, I don't cry at especially sad human things, as horrible as humans are. I only usually cry with animals or music.
Yep.
And so let the music will do it for me, which is also why Coco made me cry. But Coco just got me. I cry only for like really good things, but that is one of them. Cause I know The Incredibles always makes me cry too. Some animated movies, they just do that to me. Like, I don't even know.
Pixar knows how to do it.
They do.
They know how to really make their audience tear up, the bastards. So
I know. And it's like, The Incredibles especially, I always get flack for crying because everybody's like, wait, like, where do you cry? Because there's not really any sad parts in it. But
I didn't want to say that. So yeah, please tell us.
Oh yeah. I'm a huge music person.
Mm-hmm.
And the music in it is so good.
Yeah.
And so that just brings me like happy tears. And then there's the one scene in The Incredibles where they have to go like downtown with all the whatever monster things. Mm-hmm. And they're racing in the RV with the whole family down highway. And they're all yelling at each other about which exit do we take? Do I take this exit? And that always makes me cry because it always just reminds me of my family going on trips. My dad's a very aggressive driver. And it'd be one of those things where, do I take this exit? You got to tell me now. And it was just, it's so relatable and I love it so much. That's my favorite animated movie. So
you're allowed to bawl at that because it has a personal meaning. So that's okay.
Exactly. I'm not crazy. I'm not just like crying at weird things. I mean, it's a little weird, but.
only slightly, but it's okay. But at least you can relate to it. I'm the same. So music can really, if the music in a film or just music in general is spot on,
mm-hmm.
it can make you feel so much. Whether it's the end of Force Awakens with Rey meeting Luke,
yes.
and the music swelling, or hearing the Jurassic Park theme in the original, or your favourite song, it's music when it's good. It's not much other than films. There's not much better.
Oh yeah, I cry every time a Star Wars movie starts. Every time. I just love the whole title sequence with the John Williams theme. It's just so good. And I'm not like even the biggest Star Wars fan, but that is just the best.
I can imagine Target sells quite a lot of tissues, so they obviously know when you're going to the cinema.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
And I do get my discount, so I mean, tissues for
Yes,
days.
yeah, so you can stock up for the whole year worth of
Exactly.
films. I mean, The Incredibles 2 is coming out soon. God knows what you're going to be like during that.
I'm honestly afraid to see it in theaters. I don't know if I want to. Like, not only just the sheer embarrassment, but also I'm so scared that it's not going to be good that I'm like, I'm afraid to see it.
I have that feeling too. Not that I think it's going to be bad, but
No.
I'm going to toe the line like with a lot of other people, and I just think they've left it too long. 10 years
Oh,
is an
yeah.
awful long time.
It's more than 10 years. I think that didn't it come out in
About
2004?
2002 or something like that, actually. Yeah, 2004. Sorry, 15 odd years almost. It's
That's crazy.
that's almost 2 decades,
Yeah, it's
which makes
and I
everybody
wish
feel old.
I know that they left the ending of the first one open where they could, but I was always hoping that they wouldn't make a second one. But you know, I'll take it. Hopefully it's good. Hopefully it doesn't let me down.
Oh, for sure. But I think this, by the looks of it, this new one starts very soon after the first one, which is
Yeah.
only slightly weird.
I know. It is weird. It's kind of sort of similar to how they did Finding Dory, because that wasn't too far after the Finding Nemo.
Yeah, but I suppose that film only came out, however many, not, well, it didn't come out 15 years after Finding Nemo,
It
so
was
they
about
kind of had a
10.
shorter gap. It's true, actually, you're right. Finding Dory is what, 2016?
Yeah, somewhere in there. It was oh, 2 years ago.
I can't remember when Finding Nemo came out. I know it certainly wasn't a 15 year gap in films, but.
No, I know that I was little when it came out, so it couldn't have been too like early or late, but
Saying that, actually, it came out in 2003,
oh my
so
gosh.
it was. I've taken everything back now, guys.
Yes,
I'm an idiot.
never mind.
It was about a 14, 13 year gap, but it
Oh my
didn't feel
gosh.
like that long.
No, it didn't. And that was always one of my I whenever my dad would get a new TV, he'd always put Finding Nemo in to show it off to people because it was
Yeah,
one
the
of those
colours.
where it just
Yeah.
looked so pretty. So I don't know, we got a lot of mileage out of our DVD for that one.
Yeah, clearly, it obviously made 13 years go past very quickly,
Yeah,
but.
right? Exactly.
Yeah, well, I hope the Incredibles 2 will be good. I've got a feeling. I don't think it will be as good as the first
I
one.
don't either.
I don't think it will be a horrible movie by any means. But I think it's just going to unfortunately come and go. And I think they have just taken too long in getting it out,
Yeah, I agree.
which is a shame because the first one was so very good and it made you cry. So
Exactly. It's got heart.
if the second one doesn't, then we know it isn't as good.
Exactly.
So, if every film in the world was going to be deleted by the Thanos snap of a finger, except this time he got rid of all of them, if you could just save one movie,
Yeah.
what would that one movie be, and why would it be?
I think that this is such a weird choice, but I would say Robin Hood Men in Tights.
Is that okay? Yep, that is a left view. That's a curveball.
It's not, obviously, this isn't going to be one of those that we show the aliens and be like, this is America or this is the world. Like
They might
this,
leave us
take this.
alone if we did.
Yeah, exactly true. But I have always been obsessed with that movie. My whole family, I can quote every line of it. And it is, oh my gosh, it is the funniest thing. And that's why I think I would love it, is because so I could have to, like, it would almost be like talking to someone. It would be social because I could quote it with the movie. It would just be, I love the movie. I love Cary Elwes. And that, like, age for him was just the golden years. And I don't know, I love that movie.
Good. I haven't seen it for the Mel Brooks film. I haven't seen it for an awful long time, but I do remember the tagline or the quote being something about fr what did Fryer tuck? What did Fryer tuck into his pants or his
Oh,
tights to make
yep.
Maid Marian quiver or something like
Oh yeah.
that? It was
That I
fantastic.
it was that was another one of my mom, she's the biggest Mel Brooks fan. And so I have seen probably I've seen Spaceballs a million times, Men in Tights, Young Frankenstein, all those. But Men in Tights was always just so funny to me. I don't know. I just that's what I'd want. Like if every movie's gone, I need something to laugh at. And it's weird because comedy is not at all my favorite genre. But I love that movie.
Yeah, it's a good spoof, good take up of the Robin Hood. Now, it has got some fantastic quote lines in it
Oh yeah.
when they mock Kevin Costner's Prince of Thieves because this Robin Hood can actually speak in an English accent.
Yes. Oh my
I love
gosh.
that. I feel like I should go back and rewatch it.
Yep, and there's a lot of jokes that one, as I've gotten older, I've understood them more, because I probably saw that movie the first time when I was, again, like 7 or 8. So, like, there's obviously the, like, certain jokes that I went right over my head.
Yeah.
But now, looking back, there's some really good ones in there that you got to be a little older to understand.
Yeah, you can watch it as a kid and maybe, I can't remember what when I saw it, I was about 12, I think. So some of the things I kind of got, but I can't imagine what it'd be like watching it as like a 7 or 8 year old and trying to understand it.
Oh yeah, as you can probably imagine, it's kind of the theme that I was started on certain movies way too early. So another one like Aliens, my mom also forced me to watch that when I was young, and that gave me nightmares.
Forced or asked?
Oh, no. I was forced at that time. Now, I ask her to watch it because I love that movie. But it was just, I saw many things way too early in my life.
So it would seem.
Yep.
Aliens would have scarred me as a 7-year-old
boy.
Oh,
it did, for sure. That's probably the way that, why I am the way that I am.
What bit did you cry at during Aliens?
I don't even know. Maybe that one didn't even have a crying moment in it.
Thank God for that.
You never know, though. There's some cute little things with Newt. Like, maybe nowadays I might.
I cried at how they just nosed it up in Alien 3 and just basically ruined everything that Alien set up so well.
I've never seen that, and I never will. That is on my list of never to see.
It's one of those films that is almost legendary because there's so much... It had so much problem, so many problems, yep. Sorry, when it was being made.
David Fincher did that one, right?
That's right, Fincher did it, but apparently he was, his vision for the film was held back and distorted so much that he's kind of just director in almost name only. That's not how he wanted the film to be.
Yeah, my mom said something about how Sigourney Weaver didn't want any guns or something in that movie, so there was something about how she wanted it to be like a better role model for her daughter. But by doing that, you kind of take out a lot of the fun in Alien.
Yeah, you kind of take out what made Ripley's character so essential. The fact that she could just pick up a gun and just show the guys how to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Alien 3 has some good moments in it, and there's certainly good ideas to be had. But it's good ideas doesn't always make a good film.
No, for sure.
That's a shame. And then Alien Resurrection after that was just an absolute... filled nappy of a movie.
Yeah, I think that I've only seen parts of that one. I don't even think that I've seen all of that. And it's ironic that, because I also love Alien versus Predator, which is a very...
It's a guilty pleasure.
Yeah, it's a guilty pleasure. Because that was another... I grew up with that one on FX. Because that was one of those where FX would play that movie all the time. And I don't know why, but it was always edited in a weird way. Because, in America, when movies are put on TV, they edit them down so much that it's really pretty sad. But it's just, that was another one that I always loved.
Which one? Was it Alien vs. Predator or Alien vs. Predator Requiem? Which I think they just use that word to sound cool. Which is the one where the alien, the xenomorph, I think it is, just goes and kills all of the newborn babies.
Oh, I think that one's Requiem, I think.
Yeah, as soon as you mentioned AVP,
yep.
I immediately thought of that scene, and I think, I thought that was sequel.
I forgot that there was a sequel to that one. I forgot about that movie. Oh my gosh.
They really did make another film to that. So,
yeah, why?
But I just remember that scene thinking, cool, that's a bit heavy, isn't it? But Alien vs. Predator, that's a guilty pleasure for me, because for me, it isn't a good film, but it's one which I can enjoy watching. But there wasn't enough Alien versus Predator in it.
No, exactly, for sure. Basically, only the last maybe like 15 minutes, maybe.
Even and it's cut very quickly. The edited, sorry, very choppily. So
The directing was kind of like they wanted to make it sparingly, probably because they didn't have a ton of money.
Yes, whereas the first Alien film didn't have a ton of money, but managed to not show the alien and make it effective.
I think that I like Alien better than Aliens.
I'm going to fight you now.
I
like Aliens better than Alien. But it switches, because now I say it, Alien is more of a sort of straight up space horror.
Yeah, that one's Alien for sure.
Is the action film.
Yep. Yeah, Alien, that's probably why I like it better, because I like horror and I also love, it's so suspenseful. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I love Ripley in it. It's so good. And I'm not a video game person, but there was, I don't remember what it was called, but there was an Alien Isolation, I think.
Isolation, yes.
Yeah, that came out.
That game.
Yeah, I bought it because I'm stupid and played it for about 10 minutes until I had to return it because I was too scared.
I don't blame you. I've got it. I've played it for about 15 minutes and that I bought it about a year ago and I haven't played it since because it scared the hell out of me.
Oh yeah, I just hid in one of the lockers basically the whole time because I was too scared to even go out. It screws with you. It's too scary.
I know, and it said you're not meant to make any noise during it at all, apparently, because if you make a noise, they come and eat you.
Yep, and that's just too much pressure.
Exactly, and I've got to one point. It took me 15 minutes to get to a big door, almost like an airport waiting room type thing, and I don't know how to get through the door now because I was so scared I haven't looked for any of the clues.
So it's like, I'm just going to stay here.
Yes, so one day I am actually going to turn it back on and have a go at it, but I was so scared. Of that, bloody hell. I was so scared of that alien coming out of nowhere and eating me that I haven't actually gone back to play. It scared the hell out of me.
Yeah, well, you let me know how that goes for you.
Yeah, probably, it might be a long time, but I may even return it as well. But
Yeah, right.
Wow, that's a good question for anybody out there. Have you ever returned a movie-related film game because it's too scary?
Yeah, probably, honestly, probably not. But you never know. Yeah.
I can see why, because I spoke to somebody else on this show a month or two ago who said the same thing. They didn't repeat it. They didn't send it back, sorry, but it terrified them.
Yeah. That's how I would be. If there was ever an Iron Giant game, I would cry, because that movie is too scary.
That's because there's no surprise there, though, is there?
Oh, yeah.
I will play it once. I will play it again, and if I do, I will be sure to let you know that I didn't get much further.
Okay, perfect. That's what I'd expect.
Good movies aside, bad movies. What's the worst movie you've ever reviewed or just seen?
Oh, God, there's some bad ones. as far as ones that I've ever reviewed, there's a couple.
Yeah, go
for it. First of all, The New Mummy.
Ugh.
I hated that movie so much. And I paid extra to see it like on a bigger screen and nicer chairs and all this stuff because I love the first one.
That would make me cry. It
was horrible. The story is so bad. The directing is so bad. And I love the writer, Chris. I don't know if he directed it, but Christopher McQuarrie. He does some good writing. He does like the Mission Impossible stuff. But I don't know what happened with The Mummy because it was so bad, so badly acted. The action was bad, everything. So I hated that movie. I am also a giant Rocky Horror Picture Show fan. Yeah. And Fox did like a remake of it, kind of one of those like live things that they do, and I forget who's in it, but that was just horrible just because it was just, you didn't need it didn't need to happen. Like
was that the recent one?
Yeah, it came out like a year or two ago. It was so,
that's right.
It was the like Let's Do the Time Warp Again, I think is what it was called.
That's the Ivy Levin and Staz Nera in it. It was horrible.
Yep. And that's just so bad. And then another, probably the worst movie that I've had to sit through was, and this is one that I almost left, and I've never left a movie before, was The Disappointments Room. I don't even know if you had to see it. I'm so sorry. But it was so bad. Kate Beckinsale was in it, I think. And it was the most, because the trailers made it look kind of scary. It didn't look great from the trailers, but it, oh my gosh, it's just such a bad movie. It was so boring, horribly directed. I'm so sad that I had to sit through that.
I haven't seen it, and I'm never going to now.
No, don't ever see it. I don't think anybody saw it. And last time I checked on Rotten Tomatoes, it had like, it was either like 6 or 9%. It was real low. So that's just one to definitely stay away from because it is bad.
Kate Beckinsale should stick to British period dramas or killing vampires.
Exactly. I like her. I think that she's like funny as a person and like she's cool. But man, it was a bad movie. Don't see it.
I'm never ever going to watch The Disappointments Room.
No.
The Rocky Horror Picture Show, I enjoyed the original. I think it's quite hard not to enjoy it. But that remake is utter crap.
Oh yeah.
Is it one of those unnecessary unnecessary remakes? It didn't need to be done. Just enjoy the original. And The Mummy, yeah, I echo what you say. It's funny because it started off the Dark Universe, which was a reimagining of all those old classic horror films.
Yeah, but I'd be shocked if they still do that.
Apparently they've binned it, but The Mummy wasn't a horror film. Like it was turned into an action film just for Tom Cruise's teeth.
Yep, exactly.
It was horror, and they made Russell Crowe look like a bad actor.
Oh yeah, and because his part in it, the whole Jekyll Hyde thing, was just so dumb. And the fact, because if he was going to do that, that means that he was going to continue in the Dark Universe, and that just would have been even worse.
Yeah, and his Cockney accent was awful.
I mean, I think that you would know. I don't know the difference, but I'm sure it was bad. Yeah.
When he put on that strange English, strange sort of common English accent, I almost wanted to pull my ears out. I thought, Russell, you're better than this. Come on.
Yeah, right? Oh my gosh. Yeah, I hated it. And one of my friend, I sat next to her, and then her brother was on the other side, and he thought it was great. He was like, oh my gosh, this is the best movie I've ever seen. And I...
Which is okay.
Oh, I know. I took his temperature. he couldn't have been okay, because he's just so not good. So not good.
Yes, shame on you, Tom Cruise. If anybody out there likes The Mummy, that's fine. We didn't. But
yeah, exactly.
But then Tom Cruise came out with American Made a couple of weeks later, and I really enjoyed that film. So
I never like Tom saw Cruise it. Anyway. I'm not huge into, I don't know what exactly that genre is. The kind of almost like Catch Me If You Can, kind of like true story thing. But yeah, I've heard that it was a very, very good movie, though.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I didn't have that many expectations for that much expectation, but it was good. Tom Cruise's, it looked like he just got back to having a bit of fun.
Yeah,
just playing Tom Cruise. Yeah, without having to be, you know, Mission Impossible Tom Cruise or running around The Mummy Tom Cruise. It was just Tom Cruise flying planes and having fun, and he was perfect for it. And it was a really, I thought, really fun film. A surprisingly good film.
Yeah, that's why I think he's so good in Mission Impossible, is just because that you can tell that he has fun doing it and that he loves doing the stunts and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. So,
even though it means losing all his limbs.
Yeah, right, breaking his legs off, you know.
It's just another day for the Cruise.
Exactly. What a life.
And it gives him a chance to chase women half his age, so exactly. He's obviously still enjoying himself out there.
Exactly, yep. You go, Tom. That's all I'm telling you. You go.
Yeah, just stop making those crap Dark Universe films.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. So if they were going to make a film about your life, I don't know, Infinity Wage or The Wolf of Wage Street, who would play you in that film?
Man.
The Wolf of Wage Street.
I feel like if you would do a movie, it could be like throughout my life. Not that I've done like anything super exciting with my life, but if you wanted to do that, I feel like Jennifer Lawrence has kind of a similar personality where she could do like the younger me, and then I am obsessed with Catherine Hahn.
Yeah,
and she could do like a good older me, because I feel like she's got the kind of like, they're both pretty loud, and I feel like I can you know, identify with that, and their like sense of humor is also, they should probably think before they speak, which is why I love it.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, I feel like those two, we could do both, because I don't feel like I'm 100% a Jennifer Lawrence or 100% a Catherine Hahn, but I just love both of them, so we'll put both of them in there.
I like the kind of disparity between two of them, because Jennifer Lawrence and Catherine Hahn probably don't get mentioned in the same circle all that often.
Yeah, probably not. Now you say that.
But it's a good way of thinking about it. Are they good at crying during films, do you think, because they portray that well?
Honestly, I mean, I've seen Jennifer Lawrence. She, in a few interviews, she's cried when she's been drunk. So if she gets a little bit drunk, then I guess she could probably do it, you know.
So just get a tanked up on liquor, exactly. And she'll be able to cry. Put the Incredibles on and just say cry
too. So like, it'll all work out.
Also, so she's just got to learn to cry at films you shouldn't cry at, eat cheese, steal from Target, and then done.
Honestly,
brilliant.
That
she's got the role.
Sounds like her anyway. So,
actually, yeah, you're right. And if possible, and if Catherine Hahn's anything like a Bad Moms character,
yep,
she'd probably do the same too.
Oh, when I saw Bad Moms, so many of my friends, like, they would see it without me, and then they'd text me and say, "This woman is you as a mom."
She's the worst. She's the worst mother of them all, though.
Oh, exactly. That would be me.
She had a kid, didn't she? In a Bad Moms, she had a kid in that film. And what was he like? He was just a layabout, wasn't he?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, that's definitely what would happen. I mean, you know, and I'm a pretty free spirit, so I don't know. I think that would, it's not too inaccurate.
Well, there you go, guys. Hannah is just like Catherine Hahn and Jennifer Lawrence.
Don't put this as like my dating profile or anything, because that's not going to go over too well.
Any guys out there in Wisconsin who's looking for a Catherine Hahn / Jennifer Lawrence hybrid who cries during movies, eats cheese, steals from Target, and likes horror films, you are in for an absolute treat.
Yep, I think that should be it.
Yep. Well, if this show achieves one thing, we are going to find you a husband based on that criteria.
Exactly. There we go. We'll start putting out the ads.
Yes, we're going to hashtag it. We're going to set up a website. We're onto something here.
I think so too.
Well, I'm so pleased we're going to find some love out there.
Yep. It's about time.
If you don't like cheese, you can get lost. So, other than courting four men. If anybody out there wanted to do reviews or start a website like you have, what advice could you give them to kind of, you know, G them into getting off the ground with it?
I would say just don't worry about if people read it. You know, that's how, because I took like a long break. I probably stopped writing for like 6 months at one point, just because I was like, oh, I'm only getting like maybe 5 views a day. This is really sad. And I think that if you just write when you want to write and about something that you care about, I think that you just do it and it makes yourself feel better.
Yep, can't argue with that. If you're writing, or if you start off and assume you're going to get 1,000 views in the first week, you may be in for a shock.
Oh yeah, for sure. It's a slow climb, for sure.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people out there doing the same things, but it doesn't mean everybody's great or not great. Everybody, you know, it's all subjective.
Yep.
Your writing might bang for somebody, so.
Yeah, I'd say if you're not doing it for you, then you shouldn't do it.
There you go, guys. Do it for yourself. Stay true to yourself. Keep it real to yourself. And you'll be just fine. Don't straight clown everybody. Well, that is that then for this episode of the What I Watch Tonight show. Thank you so much for coming on and giving your time, Hannah.
Thank you. This is awesome.
It's been a blast learning about the cheese.
Oh, yes.
Where can the world find you on the interweb?
I have a Twitter account that's just Cinema Addicted. One A combined between Cinema and Addicted, and my website is also cinemaaddicted.com.
You may want to spell that for the guys out there.
Solid. All right. Well, then it is CinemaAddicted.
There we go. Remember,
Cinema Addicted.
It's all K, no C.
Yes. Yeah, the C was taken, sadly. I'm not that creative.
I prefer it with the K. Well, if you're addicted to cinema, then check out Cinema Addicted and the fine work that Hannah puts out. Like I said, they're short, concise reviews to the point, and you get plenty of Hannah in them. So do go check those out. And thanks again for coming on today. Thank you, everybody, for listening. You can catch all these episodes on our website, which is whatiwatchtonight.co.uk. Subscribe on iTunes. Get this episode, every episode before, every episode that's going to come. We're also on Spotify, Podknife, TuneIn, Stitcher. It's very slowly going up on YouTube. You don't get to see my face, thankfully, just the voice. But we're everywhere now. We're taking over the world one click at a time. So if you do like what you hear, share the episodes and tell the world. If you don't tell anybody. So, and of course, don't forget to tell your grandmothers about the show. But until next time, see ya. Okay.